Hello, Nightmare Society. I've been mining for more stories to build up my archive again, and I was able to bundle a few similar themed stories, since I haven't been able to do that in a while. So, tonight we're going into the woods. Thank you to Anonymous, user Willie D, user Bingo City 40, and user Enigma Cipher 17 for sharing their stories with us. Now, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
When I was about 7 years old, my father bought a few hundred acres in southern Mississippi, about 1.5 hours west of Mobile, Alabama. He built a small cabin on top of a hill that was in the middle of a large field surrounded by woods. This house was about 5 miles away from a paved road. To get to our land, it took nearly 10 minutes of driving down dirt roads from the main highway, which was south of the house. About a quarter mile north from the house, he built a small lake, more like a pond. It was about as long as a football field, but wider. To get to the lake from the house, you could take Route A, which was a hard-packed dirt road that was lined with dogwood trees. It was beautiful in the spring. Route B was about 100 yards east of Dogwood Lane, and we named it Vampire Trail, because it was always so gloomy. The trees blocked out the sun on the brightest days, and it had a slight decline as you walked down towards the lake. I say walked because this trail was not for vehicles. Thick woods filled the area outside and in between both trails. One morning during the fall, my parents and my little sister had gone to get ice cream and do some shopping. This trip would take them at least an hour or two. I was 10 years old, so I decided to go fishing while listening to Bama play Ole Miss. The game was the usual Alabama win, so I thought I could ease the boredom of a blowout by fishing in the well-stocked lake. So I carried my pole, small radio, and my small ice chest. I had an Airedale Terrier named Bully that never left my side. And it was on this day that I realized how awesome he really was. On to the lake we went. Picture a large oval, roughly the size of a football field, but larger, with an L-shaped pier in the southeast corner. Vampire Lane opened up to a more severe decline to the shore and then the small pier. Across the lake on the west side, there was a narrow tree line that separated the shore from Dogwood Lane. The north side of the lake was the dam, and the south ended in thick and swampy woods. Fortunately for me, I realized later. About 5 minutes after I threw out my line and 2 Alabama touchdowns later, I got that feeling. It's a feeling I have come to recognize well, and it may have saved my life this day. The feeling of being watched by something dangerous. Bully must have felt it too, because a few seconds later I could hear him growling low and staring across the lake to the west, to the tree line that separated Dogwood Lane from the lake. I turned my head in that direction, and almost immediately my eyes lit on what I thought to be a half silhouette of a large man behind a tree. It was too far to make out details, but close enough to be sure of what I was seeing. Almost 5 minutes went by, and right before I scolded myself for an overactive imagination, the half-silhouette moved behind a tree slowly. Bully stood and growled louder, and I told him quietly to stop, and I turned my head north towards the dam while keeping my eyes and attention rooted to that tree. Over the next 10 minutes, which felt like hours, I watched while this figure moved slowly from tree to tree, always north and always facing me. The saying scared stiff was something I found to be true. For some reason, I thought it important that whoever or whatever it was did not know I was aware. I finally realized that the figure's path was bringing it closer to the dam, which would make its path, to me, shorter and easier. My paralysis broke and I casually put down the fishing pole and started walking towards Vampire Lane. As an adult, I was in the army for 11 years as an MP, but not turning to look over my shoulder during that walk was the hardest thing I've ever done. In my mind's eye, whatever it was screaming across the dam towards me. When I hit the tree line, I broke into a run. As I was running, Bully dashed ahead of me and my anger turned into admiration as he stopped some 20 yards ahead and faced north until I passed him. He continued this action the entire run home. My dog was watching my back. Just epic. Although I can grasp the awesomeness of this now, at the time I was so scared that I was literally sick. Even at such a young age, I knew that a large man watching and trying to creep up on a 10-year-old boy was up to no good. When I reached the cabin, I immediately locked the door and got one of my dad's shotguns as well as his .38 revolver. I sat at the large front window, my eyes glued to both trail openings and the woods between them. My family returned shortly after, and for some reason I did not mention what happened. I never felt safe there again. When me and my friends or my little sister wanted to go anywhere other than the area around the cabin, I made sure my parents were with us. What scares me the most, though, is the fact that our closest neighbors were about 2 miles northwest of us, with thick woods in between us as the crow flies. Who or whatever the hell was watching me from the woods that day? I guess I may never know. I sometimes wish I could go back then, as a grown man with military training, as I am now. Bully lived a full life and was put to sleep peacefully as a very old but great dog. The best dog I have ever known. I used to work at a Boy Scout summer camp. Every week I had to take a big group of campers to a secluded spot for their wilderness survival badge, where they had to build a shelter out of sticks, leaves, etc., and sleep in it overnight. The spot was only about a half mile from the main camp, but we took them a circuitous route that made it seem really secluded. Anyways, on this one night in 2004, all the campers had made their shelters. We had cooked dinner and were all just sitting around the campfire. It was getting late, maybe 11 o'clock, so I sent all the campers to their shelters for the night and started cleaning up the fire. That's when we heard in the distance what sounded like church bells. They were pretty faint, but myself and my fellow staffers could definitely hear them. They went on for about 30 minutes, ringing every 30 seconds or so. We were all a little creeped out, as there were no churches or towns within 20 miles of us. After the bells stopped, though, the singing started. It was too faint to hear the words, but it sounded like church choir music. But a lot of people, and a lot more enthusiastic. Also, it was almost midnight at this point. The singing went on for well over an hour, sometimes quieting down until we almost couldn't hear it, sometimes getting so loud we thought it was getting closer. All of the campers were super creeped out, but I lied to them, telling them there was a church service going on in camp, and that there was nothing to be scared of. Eventually, at almost 1 a.m., the singing stopped. I found out a few days later that there had been a large KKK rally only a few miles away that night. And that's what we had heard. This was an experience I had many years ago while camping at Brown County State Park in Nashville, Indiana. About 12 years ago, my boyfriend, now my ex, and I decided to go camping. I'd always loved to camp, so I was really excited about it. We arrived well before dark and set up our tent about 2 miles into the park. We were fairly isolated and there wasn't a lot of people camping as it was a weekday. We did all of the typical stuff like eat, walk around, etc. Once it started to get dark, we made a fire and sat there talking while my boyfriend drank whiskey. There was a few times I felt as if someone was watching me, but I didn't see or hear anything. I felt uncomfortable and couldn't figure out why. We eventually decided to get in the tent to get some sleep, and my boyfriend quickly passed out due to a large amount of whiskey. I, however, couldn't sleep. I felt uncomfortable and as if I was being watched. I was laying on my side facing the door of the tent when suddenly a very intense feeling of dread and fear hit me. It was the strongest feeling of fear I'd ever had in my life. Every hair on my body stood on end. There was a small window near the top of the tent, and it felt like if I looked at that window, something very bad would happen. It felt like I would die. I laid there completely still, trying to listen for any kind of noise. At that point, I realized there wasn't any noise at all. The crickets had been chirping constantly, were now dead silent. You could have heard a pin drop at that moment. I remained as still as possible for what felt like an eternity. I was absolutely terrified and convinced I was about to be killed. The feeling of fear and dread continued to get worse. I very quietly started trying to wake my boyfriend, but he was out cold. I decided I had to get somewhere safer than the tent. I slowly crawled over and got the car keys from my boyfriend's pocket. I tried again to wake him up and nothing. It felt as if my life depended on me getting out of that tent. I quickly unzipped the door and made a run for the car. As soon as I left the tent, it felt like someone was right behind me, but I didn't look back. I jumped into the car, locked the doors, and started bawling my eyes out while looking around. There was absolutely nothing there, but it was still dead silent, and I still felt as if I was going to die. I was so terrified I stayed in the car with the doors locked all night, bawling my eyes out. The feeling of fear and dread started going away about an hour before sunrise, and sound came back, but no way was I getting out of that car. When my boyfriend finally woke up, I told him everything that happened, and he said it was just my imagination. That was the end of our relationship. I haven't been camping since this happened, and I'm not sure if I ever will again. Just down the road from where a few years ago I had previously lived in Southeast Australia is the opening into about 100 acres of woodlands and bush that I frequently went into when I was younger to do the usual things, riding and camping, etc. I was out driving at around 11:30 p.m. with my girlfriend, and as we were in the area, I decided to show her the woodlands, as she loves everything to do with nature, and it was summer, so an extremely warm night. I left my car with the light shining into the trees as we weren't going too far in, and it was pitch black inside, and the two of us just kind of sat chatting, having smoke and generally relaxing. She was sitting on sort of a map of the area that had been put in some plastic, and I was keeping an eye on the trees as I had a feeling that something was just wrong. I've read on here a few people have said that they felt that they were in danger, although nothing around them was off. and it was this same feeling. Every sense was almost reaching out and my adrenaline was up, but there wasn't really anything in my eyeline that seemed any different. After lighting another cigarette to calm my nerves, I scanned the tree line again and realized that it looked different than it did before. It was only after staring into the dark that I saw that there was moonlight now lighting up grass where it couldn't before, as there was a black shape blocking it that I had thought was a tree. I've got goosebumps just typing this, but the only way to describe was that all sound just ceased, and everything went dead silent. And a few seconds later, this disgusting feeling of dread fell over me, and I saw motion in the dark of the path as this thing crawled towards us on all fours. I've seen nearly every animal in the outback here, and we don't have any large predators like in the US or Europe. But somehow I knew this thing was a predator, and it wasn't hiding itself from us, but just slowly crawling forward towards us. I don't know if my girlfriend saw it or not, as I couldn't look away, but just as it reached the line, my car lights were able to illuminate it. It reared up on two legs and just sat staring at us. I'm 6'4", and this thing was about another meter larger than me, with arms that were far too long that reached down near the ground, and all I could make out was an off-white, almost yellowish fur on it, and in the dim light could make out the silhouette of its head like a dog or a wolf. I wasn't able to move as it stared at me, but it was at this point my girlfriend gasped, which seemed to break of whatever was stopping me from thinking logically. I grabbed her by the arm and sprinted to my car, slammed the doors and tore out of there as fast as I could, both of us too scared to speak until about a half an hour later. We've both discussed it many times, and the feeling that we had was what I imagine a rabbit sees when it catches a wolf or fox looking at it, that this is something that would be able to end us both with absolute ease if it chose. Neither of us have been able to come up with any explanation for what it was, but it has definitely changed the way I view the woods and bush, and when I go camping or hiking now, I think back to that and wonder what it was, and if I will ever see anything like it again. Another big thank you to Anonymous, user Willie D, user Bingo City 40, and user Enigma Cipher 17 for sharing their stories with us. You can send yours to nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com or check me out on Instagram at nightmaresocietyradio or Twitter at society_radio. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Sweet dreams.